Hi, welcome to The Science of Social Media. I'm Dave Chapman, and today's episode is a little different from usual. In this episode, we're focusing on allyship and anti-racism on social media. Back in June, Buffer made a commitment to anti-racism work as an organisation, as did many other brands worldwide. And we want to regularly focus on this topic here on The Science of Social Media to keep ourselves accountable and also help others to continue to move forward and stand up to racial injustice and fight for equality for all. Hi everyone. Today I'm joined by Heather May Pustai and Katie Gilmer.
Hey everyone.
Hi everybody.
And we'll also be joined by Buffer's People Operations Manager, Keisha Washington.
In this episode, we're going to discuss what allyship means to each of us and also follow up on how brands can continue to show allyship and combat racism. So to get us started, what does allyship mean to you, Dave or Katie? Would you like to share?
Sure, I'd be happy to share on that. So to me, allyship is about learning to recognize my own unique privilege and using it to support others. It's about consistently seeking perspectives that are different from my own and learning about the ways that other people experience the world. It's a journey with no point of arrival because there's always more to learn and there's more ways to push my comfort zone in order to better understand and better support others. I also think vulnerability and bravery comes into play here because you sometimes need to push yourself into uncomfortable situations or say uncomfortable things because it's the right thing to do for someone else, even if no one's around to see it.
Everything that you said resonates so deeply, and I'm so thankful that you have such a unique perspective on all of this. I think the other thing that comes to mind for me is like humility, a real ability to humble ourselves, to pause for a moment and to listen to other people and to recognize that we will get it wrong at times and we have to continually strive to improve and learn and unlearn a lot of the things that we know to be true.
Definitely, I love that.
And here are Keisha's thoughts on allyship.
To me, allyship means showing up in your daily work in a way that will help underrepresented groups. I think sometimes we think that it is a big thing that we have to do or some outward facing thing that we have to do or something that someone else should do because of their position. But I think each person in their individual roles has an opportunity to show up for an underrepresented group. And what that looks like is going to depend on your role. And the best thing that you can do is just look around. Look around on your team, look around in your sinks, look around in conversations that you're having, and just keep your eyes and ears open for opportunities to show up.
For me personally, a real learning curve this year, and it's a learning curve, as you said, Katie, that's not going to end. There's so much more to learn. But I think the biggest eye-opener for me personally, and I think a lot of people will resonate with this, is that you might have got to a place in your life where you thought you understood what it meant to be a good person or do good. And then this year, I realized that like those assumptions are kind of way off mark. I've got a lot to learn about the experiences of others. And the more that I can learn about other people's perspectives and the more that I've learned so far, the more I realize that I've got so many assumptions to challenge just on my understanding of the way the world works and the way that society works and the way that systems and governments and society is set up. And I think part of the process, part of the learning process for me is working out when I need to stand up and get involved and when I need to also get out the way and not try and be somebody else's voice. So to amplify the voice of other people. And yeah, it's a big thing. And I do think a lot of people probably would resonate with that. And this is part of the reason that we're having this conversation today, to hopefully normalize these feelings and this experience and to encourage people to get on the journey with us. Katie, would you mind sharing like a little bit about what DIE is and why it matters for organizations and a bit more detail perhaps on what we're doing at Buffer?
Yeah, definitely. So DEI is diversity, equity, and inclusion. Diversity includes all the ways in which people differ, encompassing the different characteristics that make one individual or a group different from another. While diversity is often used in reference to race, ethnicity, and gender, at Buffer, we also embrace a broader definition of diversity that includes age, national origin, religion, disability, sexual orientation, socioeconomic status, education, marital status, language, and physical appearance. We also recognize that individuals affiliate with multiple identities. Equity is the fair treatment, equity is the fair treatment, access, opportunity, and advancement for all people, while at the same time striving to identify and eliminate barriers that have prevented the full participation of some groups. Improving equity involves increasing justice and fairness within the procedures and processes of institutions or systems, as well as in their distribution of resources. Tackling equity issues requires an understanding of the root causes of the outcome of disparities within our society. And then we have inclusion, which is the act of creating environments in which any individual or group can feel welcomed, respected, supported, and valued to fully participate. An inclusive and welcoming climate embraces differences and offers respect in words and actions for all people. Increasingly, recognition of unconscious or implicit bias helps organizations to be deliberate about addressing issues of inclusivity. To put it more simply, there's a really great Verna Myers quote that says, diversity is being invited to the party, inclusion is being asked to dance. And then I also want to add on that equity is making sure that everybody can get there.
I love that. Thanks for sharing, Katie. We also asked Keisha to share a little more about DEI at Buffer, and this is what she had to say.
At Buffer, DEI over the last couple months has been a whirlwind, first of all. I think it's been that for most companies in 2020, so that may not be unique to Buffer, but one of the things that we've really tried to focus on is the fact that, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion is a part of all of our responsibility. And it's really something that everyone can be involved in. And we've seen a spike in just the membership in our channel. We have a specific Slack channel that's devoted to cultural inclusion. And we've seen that grow just over the last few months with folks who are just interested in being a part of the conversation. And I think it's really important to create inclusive spaces, which is another thing that we've sort of done this year in terms of not really ERGs, which we do have that on our roadmap, but they're literally just safe spaces for women of color, for people of color, for spirituality, for just really bringing your whole self to work and having a support network of people who identify with you and maybe as some of the same characteristics as you identify yourself. And so that really just helps to create a safe community and belonging. And I think ultimately that is what we're all after, is to create an environment that feels inclusive and where everyone feels like they belong.
I think what we're really wanting to focus on in the next part of our discussion today is how setting these objectives and putting some money towards these things, it's great. And I think I'm really, definitely really proud of what we're doing at Buffer, but it's a big deal that we keep this going. This has got to be something that is long-term. Heather May, do you have any thoughts on sort of things that people can do to keep this work going, to keep the momentum up?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the biggest things that we can do to continue the momentum here is to stay focused. One of the reasons that we really see value in devoting some of these podcast episodes to this topic is for that accountability and to continue the conversation of how do we show up. As you mentioned in the beginning, so many brands back in June made these statements and commitments to how they plan to support anti-racism work. And it's fine to make that statement once, but what does that look like in our day-to-day? So how do we continue those conversations? How do we continue showing up? And I think that keeping the conversation going and the momentum moving forward is really crucial.
Keisha shared more with us about what it means to be an anti-racist organization.
I think the biggest thing of why that's important for companies to continue the focus, to continue to follow up on their commitment to anti-racism and supporting the Black community and allyship and whatever statement they've made. I think it's really important to follow up, but I want to just maybe be clear about what following up looks like, because I think a lot of people think that it's just diversifying their feed, continuing to make outward proclamations. And that's a thing, right? I mean, we're having this podcast, we're having this discussion that we'll be sharing with our audience. And so that's one part of it. But the really important piece is to follow up internally. What does your internal environment look like? To be totally transparent, you know, here at Buffer, over the lifetime of our company, we've employed 6 Black people, 3 of which are no longer with us. Okay, so some people may look at outwardly, well, go hire more Black people, right? Hire people of color. You have no people of color in people management positions. You need to hire more people. That's a part of it. But we also need to audit our internal systems. We need to look at the structures. We need to look at the support. We need to look at what sets people up for success within this organization and what we can do to do that better. That is the work. Making a statement online is great, but making a statement within your internal organization and backing that up and supporting your teammates is the work. That's what we need to do. It's okay to take a step back from doing some of the outward expressions of work, because this is not performative, right? That's the goal, is not to be a company that looks good. It's to be a company that is good. So taking that step back to do an audit, to really identify areas of weakness, areas of opportunity and growth, is absolutely step one. And once you've done that, and it doesn't mean that no one's going to do that perfectly. This is a conversation. This is everyone's figuring it out on both sides. So this is not everything has to look good before we say what we're doing online. You can share transparently what you're doing in the process. Hey, what we've decided to do is we wanted to audit our entire system and look at performance metrics and look at training that we give to managers in all types of areas. Sharing those things transparently is a part of the journey as well.
Thank you very much for saying that, because I think it's so important to recognize and to be really honest here. We talked about vulnerability already. What I think is so important, and the reason that we wanted to have this conversation today as part of the podcast, is that we recognize that many marketers, many organizations, many small businesses are in the same position. And what can happen to people when you feel concerned or worried about doing the wrong thing or trying to do the right thing but getting it wrong is that you end up doing nothing.
Absolutely. And I would say just say it. Because it's better to say it and get it wrong than to not say it at all. We're always going to make mistakes, and that is expected, and that is totally fine. It's okay. But I think the biggest mistake is to just not do anything for fear of doing something wrong. Take that step, ask that question, make change in the way that it feels compelling to you, do something. That's the action-oriented piece that I think is also tied to allyship. And there is no right or wrong in how you do that. It's just the fact that you actually are taking those steps.
And if you feel like you've not been confident or comfortable or able to work in this space or to put some effort or energy or resources into anti-racism, into learning, educating, into using your business or using your opportunities to support the minorities, the communities that have been affected by historic issues of racism, then we are definitely here for you. We want to be part of this conversation with you and want to invite you to come to us with your questions, with your challenges, so that we can work through them together.
Katie, Keisha, and Dave, thanks so much for joining this conversation and being part of this kickoff. We're really excited to continue these conversations going forward. And thanks so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you joining us here on the Science of Social Media.